Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe we should let this prayer play.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My faith is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up, until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Did you mean to do that?
It's supposed to reduce the volume a little at a time.
Oh, fade it.
Although it didn't seem to fade, it just seemed to
just stop.
Just really. Well, we were learning something new there this morning, and we learned it. Hallelujah. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us here today. From around the world. I mean, think about it. 46 nations of the world were taking this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom to. And I'm going to tell you right now, even though the Apostle Paul actually made this statement in 2 Corinthians, there is a great door of opportunity that has been opened unto us. And then he made an interesting statement about it. There's a whole lot of people who believe, well, if the door of opportunity is there, just walk through it. It'll automatically happen. And that is not what he said. He said, and there is much persecution. Which means he's opposed to that door of opportunity. And therefore, no matter what opposition you feel like you've been having lately to be connected with us, we've had some serious on this end, but the only opposition we're facing is God said, go in there and do it. And we're going in and we're doing it.
Amen.
And you can't stop us because we won't quit. Amen. That's the answer. There's a whole lot of people that can be stopped because they will quit. But we won't be stopped because we won't quit. Well, I thought I got a few more amens out of you than that. But it's all right. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's kick on the YouTube, and we're going to get right into this. This is a good lesson today. We're going to be walking with God like Ananias. Walking with God like Ananias. And we've been doing a series on Sunday mornings called Walking with God Like. And
Walking with God like Ananias.
Just in case you missed it, I said it again.
YouTube echo going on again.
YouTube has a wonderful echo. We enjoy it. You know, welcome YouTube. Glad to have you. We're glad to have you with us today. And as we always are, we're glad that you came, come and enjoy this. Please share this with all your family, friends, relatives, neighbors, friends, Romans, countrymen, and your enemies. Those few people who give me the most trouble, send this to them. Say, oh, yeah, well, listen to this guy. And those that are really nasty, just tell them, I hope you get saved because you're going to hell if you don't. I'll never forget that one great man of God said that he was determined to get all of his family saved. And he said, I literally sent a message that he preached of how to get saved on a cassette tape, put it in the cassette tape player, put one of them little cassette tape players in a shoebox, put batteries in it, and put a big piece of tape and paper, hit play. When they got it, then it had a message of how to get saved. And one of his brothers called him and said, all right, I'm listening to you. What's going on? He goes, you're going to hell, and you're going to die and go to hell forever if you don't get saved. And the guys, and his brother said, well, then lead me to Jesus. But wait, you ready for this?
Amen.
And then he did. And the guy died of a heart attack like 2 years later or some crazy thing.
So thank God.
Thank God for obedience.
Yes.
Amen? Wow. Amen. Anyways, I'm not telling you to go do that, but that's how radical some people are. Today, we're going to be talking about walking with God like Ananias. Now, in the New Testament, there's a whole lot of people called Ananias. All right? And this is not the high priest who was wicked and killed Jesus. This is not Ananias who was the wicked leader at the end of the book of Acts. This is Ananias the disciple who got Paul healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to just read. I'm going to read the story of Paul's conversion. And we're going to hear Brother Luke, Dr. Luke, tell us all about Paul's conversion, as Paul said it. And then we'll see it in chapter 9 and then again in chapter 22 of the book of Acts. And so we're going to get right to the Word of God. This is 1 hour of faith plus communion. We learned that last night. 1 hour of faith plus communion. Ready? Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says.
Because
I am.
He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God
is making this word come alive.
Is making this word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant Him as a seed.
And plant Him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Ready? Want to do this? Point to your head and say, brain.
Brain.
Receive the Word of God.
Receive the Word of God.
I am the Spirit.
I am the Spirit.
And you will listen to me.
And you will listen to me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Welcome to September 4th. Don't know if you know what that means or not, but summer is now nigh over. And fall has come upon us.
Someone tell the weather that.
Somebody please tell the weather. I want everybody to make the declaration with me. No hurricanes this year.
Amen. No hurricanes this year. I stand in agreement.
No tropical storms reach the land this year.
No tropical storms reach the land this year.
Now, you might say, well, Pastor, why would you do that? We're all done with the destruction across the South. It's just all done. There ain't no sense in it. We don't have to have $100 billion worth of damage happen across the South again. Let's just let the storms be where they go. We'll receive a rainstorm because rain is all right in certain times of the year. But, I was watching Brother Jesse yesterday in one of his boardroom chats with Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I have a really good idea from God. And he said, I got a really good plan from God the other day. He said, I don't know if all of you know it or not, but we have more than enough rain in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Sister Phyllis isn't with us yet, but you can hear her shouting amen in her church service where she's at. And the preacher's like, what did you just say amen for that about? Anyway. But he just said it. He said, think about how the pipelines come from all over the nation to Louisiana to the refineries and bring the oil from all over the nation to those refineries. Well, why can't you just put a pipeline up that sends the water back out where it needs to go, to Lake Mead and up here to North Dakota and all the places where it's dry? Why don't we just pipe the water? You got an abundance of it.
Yeah. Amen.
And he said, and all the people that are against pipelines, he said, what happens if the pipeline breaks? You water the earth. There's just water in it.
There you go.
And he said, think about it. If we put a water pipeline in, of all the men that would have jobs, as that pipeline went wherever it needed to go into the nation to bring up life-giving water to everybody.
Yeah.
Now, guys, that man has seen something now. Because now, why would we have an arid place in our nation? Because God's doing it to us?
No. But the demons that they're hanging on to in those nations.
Anyways, you might be like, what's that got to do with Ananias? Nothing. Brother Jesse said it yesterday, and I'm like, man, there's
a rabbit trail.
Think about this. The pipeline from Canada to the refineries that everybody was fighting the Keystone, that provided, I forget, like $1.8 billion worth of jobs.
Wow.
Now that, if you put a pipeline of water in, there's going to be a whole bunch of people hooking up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's it going to do? Now we're going to totally bring life-sustaining water to everywhere. If your politician opposes it, it's because he doesn't want the growth. And so remove him from our country.
Amen. Amen.
Say something else with me. Everybody proclaim this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Help a major oil company.
Help a major oil company.
Build a refinery right here in North Dakota.
Build a refinery right here in North Dakota. Amen.
So we don't have to ship our oil everywhere else. It's just built right here.
Amen.
You might say, Pastor, should you even put your faith on that?
Yes.
It sure solves shipping all the oil to Louisiana. Brings the cost level down of fuel. Why? Because we got a refinery right here in our state where we're producing millions of barrels of oil. Might be the only time I say it out loud publicly here, but I said it because I believe it, and that's just how that is.
Yeah.
We got more than enough vacant land.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We can do it.
And all the oil.
And all the oil. Acts chapter 9. wait. Not Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 4. Let's go there first.
All right.
Acts chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 18 through 22. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They just had the big miracle of the lame man in the temple. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, but we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. The gospel is supposed to be able to be seen and heard. All right. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. It's the problem we have today with the church, why people aren't a part of it, is the church is not manifesting miracles, amazing miracles, for the whole city to see, so that people will be like, we need to serve that God.
Yeah.
Right? Down to verse 29 through 37. Now, Lord, look on your enemy's threats. Grant to us, your servants, that with all boldness, that we may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, why are you reading this? We haven't heard the name Ananias yet, Pastor. Because Ananias becomes a Christian out of this church that we're talking about right here. Ananias becomes a believer. And so what did he come a believer into? Miracles, signs, wonders, and some pretty bold leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And they Peter just prayed. I mean, Ananias is likely alive and in one of these meetings. And you got to know that when they prayed this prayer, you and I use it all the time. That with all boldness, we may speak your word, stretching out your hand to heal, signs and wonders be done by through the miracles of your holy servant Jesus. That's what Ananias is born into when he's born again. Now, then it says the place where they were at when they prayed was shaken because of the power of God. I have a word for you. We've not prayed with willing, open hearts of obedience enough yet, because the place where we're at hasn't shaken yet when we prayed. And I ain't stopping until we get some shaking happening. Amen. Verse 32, the multitude of those who believed. So it wasn't just a few people here and there. It was a multitude of believers. We're of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone think that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, not just the apostles. Grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, distributed them to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostle, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, as you and I know it today. Now watch. Strong coffee.
Yeah. Swallow before you talk.
I like my coffee. It's a little cold though. Can you warm it up? I just pour some hot in it. So chapter 5 is about lying to the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to say it? Thou shalt not lie to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, thou shalt not lie to the
so,
Holy Spirit.
Now, Ananias and Sapphira, see, that's a different Ananias, fall dead in church because they lied about their offering and schemed to lie about their offering.
And why?
And why?
No reason.
I don't know. I don't know. I've yet to figure it out. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and through 16. Acts 5, 12 through 16. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of them of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Why? People are being healed right in front of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them, and they be healed. Can you imagine? They got a couple guys on a cot, four people carrying the guy in a cot. Where's he coming? I think he's on L Street over there. By the other house. Go that way. And these guys are carrying people on their cots out into the street, so when Peter walks by and his shadow goes over top of them, they get healed. People are like, well, I read that video. That's a good thing. No, wait, put it into the reality. There's people, when you think about people carrying people into the streets on a cot so they can get healed, there's a serious amount of effort going into this person getting healed. 16, multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people, those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. How many?
All
healed. So now we see all healed in Jesus' ministry, and now we see all healed in the apostles' ministry. Now, I'm not going to read the next part, but they didn't like what was happening. The religious people didn't like what happened, so they threw him in prison. And then Gamaliel speaks up and says, let's see, where'd he go? Making too much noise out there now. Stop it. Oh, here it is, 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people. Commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little bit. He said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain. All who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Don't you just think we need a few more Gamaliels in our day? All right? I got it. I don't have that underlined, so I recommend that you take a little time right now like I am to underline it. And they agreed with him, and when they called for the apostles and beat them, I don't think that's what Gamaliel said too. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching as the story of Christ. Chapter 9. Saul is persecuting the church. Chapter 8, he kills Stephen. All right. And don't do that. It's not wise to kill Stephen. But he's still persecuting the church. Chapter 8. Christ is preached in Samaria. Philip went down to Samaria and had an amazing experience and was translated into another city. You like that story? Sorcerers, perfection of faith. And now we're going to go to the Damascus Road experience, chapter 9. We're going to read chapter 9, 1 through 31. 1 hour of faith and communion. Maybe we should say, and then communion. Did anybody start the timer? All right, we'll start right now. Then Saul.
Where are we at?
Acts chapter 9, yeah. Verse 1. Then Saul, slow it down. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He's breathing threats and murder. See how many people are doing that against the Christians?
Oh my.
Those of us who believe in faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by
faith.
Quit watching their stuff on YouTube, because you're going to take part in their sin as they speak against mighty men and women of God. Pastor, what if they're wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. And asked letters from the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found anywhere who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven. And that was Jesus. And Jesus showed up to destroy the yoke. Remember how the anointing destroys the yoke?
Yeah.
Jesus is the anointing, and he showed up on the road to Damascus to destroy the yoke, Paul. And after Jesus punched him in the face, he fell to the ground.
That is a pastor paraphrase, by the way.
It is not in the King James, New King James. It could be in a couple of the perversions, but anyways. I believe Jesus met him in the way, standing there, bright light, and when Jesus manifested, he punched him in the chest like that, saying, hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But now remember, Saul's in the dirt and all his men with him. Talk about walking into a force field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. And he said, who are you, Lord? At least he said the right name. And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You not caught on, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, the pricks of the Holy Spirit in your conscience. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul, oh, I guess they didn't fall down. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Well, that would be a life-altering situation that happened right there. You would be like, oh, Jesus, something just happened in my life. Verse 10, here now enters Ananias. Remember, I read all that at the beginning because this is the church that Ananias believed in, churches that seen miracles, signs, and wonders. There was a certain disciple at Damascus. He's a disciple. One who is disciplined in the ways of God, one who has given himself to the study of the Word of God, and has decided within himself, I must become a disciple, not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You're born again, that gets you in the kingdom. And then you become you become transformed into the image of God, and you get rid of all the sin in your life. There's a transformation process. And then you become a disciple. And then the New Testament teaches us that you actually become a epistle read of all men. That means you got rid of all the sin. You no longer will backbite and gossip and talebear out of your mouth and cause shame to God's name when the sinners are standing around you. And that means you got yourself fixed. So he's a disciple. And he saw in a vision that the Lord spoke to him, Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. Now remember, I'm going to pause. We'll give you a couple of verses. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. The hour is coming, and now is, when the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He's seeking you. And then John chapter 14, Jesus said, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will come and live on the inside of you. So Ananias is obviously a disciple in these ways, because here he is and he can hear the Lord speaking to him. You might, there's many people that have said to me, Pastor, I'm listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to me, but I don't ever hear his voice. Well, you got too much noise going on. You got too many voices in your ears.
Yeah.
You got to shut up, because he lives inside of you. He's not a God way out in the sky somewhere that does not hear you, or you got to scream loud for him to go. He's in here, leading you from the inside out. I'm preaching better than you're staring at me right now. But here's Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. He said, arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he's praying. Three specific processes in it. Street called Straight, house of Judas, a man called Saul, and he's praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Isn't it something that the house of Judas, where Saul is at, Judas didn't go in and lay his hand on? Because God has a plan that he wants to get accomplished. And God's plan is not based on your thoughts. It's based on obedience to his plan. Everything in God is about obedience. What is the next step he told you to take? Obey it. And obey it to completion. Verse 12, in a vision he saw a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. And he's done a lot of harm to us, to the saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. The Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the children of Israel. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now think about this. Most people wouldn't have stopped talking when they said, now, Lord, I heard a lot about this man. And he just killed Stephen. And he was over there doing that. And he's over here doing that. And he's over there doing that. And what are they doing? They're saying all of the circumstantial evidence that says, no, I can't go obey you, when all God wants us to do is just go obey him.
Yeah.
But the more you talk of how much it ain't going to happen, the more he says, well, all right, if that's what you want, I thought you was my disciple and I could trust you with a mission. To him who has revelation, more will be given. But what do you got to do with it? You got to receive the revelation and you've got to go do what he gives you an assignment to go do. Pastor, what if my assignment isn't big and fast? Nobody ever see me. It doesn't matter. It's your assignment. Go do it. Your assignment might be to build a business nobody ever knows about, but you make millions of dollars and put it into the kingdom. Go do it. Your assignment might be to make an invention that'll transform all kinds of things. Make the invention. Why? God is in every part of the world. Isaac, God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt during this famine. You stay here and plant your seed. You know what happened? Isaac learned how to reroute the water through channels and watered all of his crops and had a hundredfold return that year by learning how to use the water and irrigation, and scared all of them because they couldn't figure out how to do it like him. And he owned the whole thing. He's the one that had the crops and they didn't have nothing. Why? Because of the famine. But God said, don't go down there to eat if everybody else is going. You see how God's process is? God's process is, trust me in this act of faith, go do this, obey me, and watch me work every single day. Our challenge is, we've become too mouthy with God and told him what he can and cannot do with our lives. We've told our children, you can be anything you want to be. No, We should be telling our children, you need to grow up to be exactly what God wrote in the book when he made your name.
Because that's where the blessing
is. And the Lord said, verse 15, go, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name for the Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel. I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way. He got up and immediately went to work. And he knocked on the door, evidently. Judas let him in, said, I got a word for Saul. And Judas was like, all right, man. And he went in the room with Saul, and Brother Judas said to his wife, check out that Ananias, man. That's a young disciple. Check at him going in there with the great killer of all the church. This guy's killing Christians in the name of God. And we hear about Stephen, but it was a whole lot more people than that. Mm-hmm. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even though speaking in tongues is of the devil, you'll still be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Say that.
Can I get an amen out of anybody? Zoomers are being quiet today. Are you guys still there?
A great amen.
Amen, Brother Roger. There we go. He has sent me that you may receive your sight. This is a disciple. I'm going to lay hands on this man. He's going to receive his eyesight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. St. Apostle. This isn't one of the seven that they made the deacons. It's a disciple. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And Ananias reached down and picked up the scales and said, I'll be able to sell these on the open market and have a lot of people support my ministry.
It did not say that either.
It didn't say that. That's just what we do in this day. All right. When he received food, he was strengthened. Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Can you imagine the joy in Saul's heart as he got the revelation immediately? Just bam. He went from Pharisee, 613 laws you got to obey, to, oh my God, I've been set free.
Do you think he suffers guilt for any time after that? Look what I did.
Verse 20 says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
All who heard him were amazed and said, is not this he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Saul increased all the more in strength. I mean, if you was that bold way over on this side and you got born again in reality, you're going to go clear to the other side saying, oh, yeah, watch this. He increased in strength, confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. In the matter of a week of being born again. Why? Because he knew the law. As soon as Jesus came in, that law is like, whoa, check this out. 23, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night, led him down through the wall in a large basket. That's before they had cameras on everything. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him in. Barnabas saw it, another disciple, and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road and that he'd spoken to him and how he'd preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem. Coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied.
Yeah.
Chapter 22. You know, you can get a whole lot out of the Bible if you just read it. It's a really deep truth. And what we've learned with Read the Word is that if you read it right out loud, you even get a whole lot more.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Chapter 22, we're going to read the whole chapter. Nope. Who knows? We might, but we'll go down at least to 21. 1 hour of faith plus communion. Twenty-two, brothers and fathers, hear my defense. Remember now, he is before, I'm forgetting who's before here. No, I'm remembering. He is before Felix, I think. Anyways, he's before somebody. When they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And he said, I'm indeed a Jew born in the Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel trained this guy. Kind of makes you wonder if all of a sudden Gamaliel heard about Saul. He's like, that's one of my disciples right there now. Morning, Sister Sunday. Glad to have you and all of our friends over there on YouTube. It's always good to see you. I just now got you, your comments where I... Oh, Jesus. Click the wrong button and then the whole screen disappears. Let's keep reading. I am indeed a Jew, born in the Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in the city, the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictest of our father's laws, was zealous toward God as you are all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering them into prisons, both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness. And all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there in Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. It was Jesus standing in the road going, not anymore. I fell to the ground and heard a loud voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered and said, who are you, Lord? No matter who you are, no matter what wickedness you've done, when you come face to face with the wall of Jesus, just make sure when you're laying there in the dirt, you say the name Lord. Call him Lord. It gives you a better chance of making it. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Do you notice that Jesus didn't say, I'm Jesus and you're persecuting my people? We are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, and he said to Saul, you are persecuting me. He took it personal. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid. They did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go into Damascus. And there you'll be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Since I could not see, for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, was a powerful leader. And so he had men all around him. Go kill something, beat something, do something. That's just the nature of a man. Might as well beat something. And they're having to lead this man by his hand. Can you imagine when he finally got back up on his feet, like, boys, help me get up. Are you all right, sir? No, I'm blind. We heard a voice, but we couldn't hear what it was saying. What did it say to you? We got to go to Damascus. I just met Jesus. Can you imagine what the conversation was like from laying in the dirt to Damascus? And that, them boys are like, what about these papers? I don't know about them papers, but I just got knocked down to the ground by the most glorious light. Look at what it says. For the glory of that light knocked me down. And here they are now saying, we got to get you to Damascus. And you know, it says they led him by the hand. They may not have been holding hands. He may just put his hand on their shoulder. But the bottom line is this. He could not see. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, this great, big, bold, killing man is blind. May some of the great, big, bold, killing men of this day go blind.
Amen.
Guess what?
Amen.
That changes the whole picture. So they can come to the light. I don't want anybody going to hell. I used to say, send them straight to hell, Jesus, but I don't say that no more. Because I can't imagine eternity without God. That's horrendous. Verse 12, then a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, walk with God like Ananias. Be a devout man. Have a good testimony about you. This is how Ananias walked with God. He was a devout man. He had a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. He came to me and he said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him and scales fell from my eyes. And I said, Ananias, get those scales. I'll need to put them in a little jar so I can take them with me. And I'll sell them and make a lot of money for the kingdom. Don't buy splinters of a cross that Jesus died on. That cross is gone a long time ago.
Amen.
If they send you water from the place where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the water went down the river a long, 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 long time ago. Amen. That's just a charlatan making money off of ignorant people who will give them money for anything that can give us a little piece of something. You know, it's not that piece of something that gives you anything in God. It's the God Almighty coming and living on the inside of you and you living according to this book. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to buy a cross that somebody makes and remind you of Jesus not being on the cross anymore, that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But it's not a piece of wood from the cross that Jesus died on. That's only so big, and they would already shave that into many, many different pieces, and it would already be gone.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm preaching better than you're staring, but Brother Roger, give me a big amen or something. Somebody give me an amen.
Great amen. Hallelujah.
There you go.
Love you, Roger. 14, then he said, Ananias said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one. Notice just one are capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. And hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Ananias not only had an assignment to go and lay hands on him so that his eyes would be open, but he also had the assignment to lay hands on him and he received the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues. And God gave Ananias, a disciple, a word of wisdom to give it to him by the gift of the Spirit. Ananias is not a prophet, so it's not a prophecy from a prophet. He could be considered sort of an apostle because he was sent to him, but he's not in the office of an apostle. So what did he add? He got a gift of the Spirit. And that gift of the Spirit is what Paul lived his life by. The rest of his life, Paul lived by that word right there. The God of our, verse 14, has chosen you that you should know his will. See the just one. Hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Happened when he returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.
Get him out of that town where they knew.
Now, God's not a chicken. God's not saying, I'm afraid of these people. Paul came back and confronted these people. Mm-hmm. After Paul was bolder, stronger, more confident, and swung a bigger sword in the realm of the Spirit than what he was swinging on this day. Mm-hmm. Now, that was Acts chapter 9 when what he just said actually happened. This is Acts chapter 22, 25 years later, when he's in Rome standing in front of them. How much time we got? We got a few more minutes. Let's read the rest of this chapter, chapter 22. I'm in verse 22. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. As they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air.
That's just what they do.
Not sure what dust in the air when you're naked is, because you're going to get dust all over you. I don't like that. I live in the dust. I don't like that. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, you know, leather straps, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? And the centurion said, everybody freeze now. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. The commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes, I'm a Roman. The commander answered, with a large sum of money, I obtained that citizenship. Paul said, I was born a citizen. Immediately, those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. See, the man knew the law.
Yeah.
The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them all. And now Paul's going to speak in front of the Sanhedrin, and he's going to chew them boys up and spit them out. All right. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, why would God send him in there to that? Because all of those people had to hear the word, and then they were going to be judged by the word that they were here. That's why. What they were heard. It's a good word. That's why you and I, like it says in the book of Ezekiel, let's just go there. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel. 1 hour of faith and then communion. Ezekiel. Where's that verse that says his blood will be on your hands? I found it. It were when we were reading it, I'm like, man, there's that verse. It wasn't underlined.
Ezekiel 3:18.
I was in 18:18. I was really close.
You were.
Yeah, there it is. Let's read 16. Through 22. Ezekiel 3:16-22. Whoops, it doesn't work. Came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life? That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Can you imagine Ananias saying, no, I'm not going to Saul? 19. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn away from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Wow. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out and into the wilderness, and there I will talk with you. Some of you, from what I just said, you need to get out in the wilderness and talk to God, because you kind of freaked just a little bit going, are you kidding me? People's blood is in my hands? Yeah. But you can't have your bony, long finger, bony finger of condemnation in people's face saying, you stupid, ignorant, you're going to hell. People aren't going to receive that. But you got to look at them and say, you know, do you realize that when you do that, you are setting yourself up for an eternity without God's presence around you? God will give you words to say and learn how to be bold with them.
That they'll receive, yeah.
Some of them will turn. Be like, man, don't say those words about me. Well, it's reality. I always say this to people. It doesn't matter whether you believe the Bible or not. There's coming a day when you will be judged by that Bible. What's amazing is God gave us his word and he put it in a book form. And all you got to do is know what's in it. And then when you get over there on that day for judgment, there won't be no judgment against you. You'll be like, woo! Many times when people get that revelation, wait, God's going to judge me by what's in that book. Yeah. And his wrath isn't, he don't want to pour out wrath on you. He wants to pour out his spirit and his blessing and his strength. And all you got to do is just get the understanding of what this is all about. And then all of a sudden, you will begin to understand who God is and what his word is all about. If you and I won't be nasty, obnoxious, weird, they told me about a pretty popular Christian out here, a leader in the Christian world in North Dakota. Somebody told me about him the other day, and they're like, that guy's a weirdo. I don't want anybody to ever say I'm a weirdo. They may not believe what I believe about God, but I don't want you to say I'm a weirdo. All that means is his Christianity, his righteousness has not caused him to be an intelligent man. He's not letting his Christianity get into every part of his life. Because if it does, then you'll be a good person.
Probably more religiosity than...
He's probably more religious than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people are going to go to hell, but you don't have to talk to them about fire and burning forever. You should talk to them about, do you know what it's like to not have the presence of God around you? Because this whole world has... Look at that. Our little birds are back. This whole world, do they have water? They came for church. Yeah. Hi, guys. Good to have you. Would you like a bath? All right. The whole world is filled with God and his presence. And it's our place to help them begin to see it. Don't hesitate to tell a story of a miracle you've seen or of angels showing up or something. Sister Leanne's getting communion ready, reminding me it's an hour of faith and communion. Now, don't hesitate to tell your story. Don't hesitate to talk about miracles, signs, wonders, angels. Why? Because all of a sudden that'll make people say, wait a minute. I know one of them stories. I said one this week, and the guy started telling me about an angel story. Like, just happened to him. I'm like, wow, check that out. That's a pretty cool story, dude. Yeah. And just like Ananias, you and I get to be that person as a disciple. As a disciple, not as a spiritual leader. When I go out in the oil field to work, I'm not going as a preacher, although I am one. I'm going as a disciple. I'm going as a man of God.
Amen.
And you got it. And that's the way all of our lives should be. And everywhere you go, you're not just righteous when you go to church or when you're here in a program. God wants you to be righteous 24/7, 365. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what's going on, you have that righteous standard in front of you. And everybody's like, wow, look at how righteous they are. Look at how they do what's right. And sometimes it's a challenge. Because there's some really nasty, stupid people in this world. And when they get in your way, you can be like the disciples. I'll call fire down out of heaven on you. Toast y'all. Remember, if that's the case, they're going to eternity without God. And I don't want to sell that into anybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I know there's people going to hell. I know there's reprobates who will never be able to get back to God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the feeling of never being able to get back to God?
No.
Having no hope in this world.
Yeah.
No. That's where you and I must, of absolute mustness, we must be the witness and example and the light everywhere we go.
Amen.
One of our greatest
Amen.
Challenges is to get these lips in order 24/7. You might not cuss or swear or say bad words, but if you tailbear, gossip, and backbite, if you're a storyteller in the background, if you're using strife, what's that big word for strife where it's you're creating division on purpose, sedition. If you're creating sedition in your organization, speaking against the leaders on purpose to destroy, that's one of the works of the flesh. It's called sedition. I mean, in the military, during a time of war, you can be shot on the spot by an officer for sedition. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't have that division.
You that can't have it.
Crushes.
Yeah, can't have it. When you and I begin to think about the person standing in front of us right now, this person is going to go to quit. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about fire. Look at that person and realize they're not going to get to spend eternity with my Father who loves me so much and wiped away all my sin. And if you don't think you've had any sin and you don't think God's had to do any of that for you, you got the biggest dose of pride and arrogance of anybody. Because every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that now helps every one of us look and say, man, I got to get my life right. And I got to look at everybody around me like, Jesus, help me help that person not spend eternity without the presence of the Father in their life. See, all of a sudden, that makes you a person of compassion. You won't be weak. You'll be very bold and very strong, but you won't be obnoxious. You won't be a weirdo. You'll just be confident in God. Let me show you the God that I know who wants to come and live on the inside of you and lead you from the inside out. I know it's a new doctrine to many of you that God's not way out in heaven and you got to pray. And if you pray loud enough, perfect enough, and just right and just holy and just anointed and just everything, and it's just perfect, then God will answer your prayer. Now, see, that's all works of man. It is not of works because man will boast in works. It's of his grace and it's of his mercy. So now what it is, it's based in a relationship from grace. My works mean nothing to you, God. I just receive you. I just receive you.
Amen.
Because see, when the spout works, the way man is, man will boast about his works.
Yes.
And as soon as you boast about his works, grace, your own works, grace quits working. And God says, well, then talk about you instead of me. We've watched it. In my generation, in my lifetime, we've watched men reach high levels in the kingdom and then whew, all the bottom falls out. Why? Because they made it about themselves and not about the grace of God. You think about Brother Jesse Duplantis, man. He'll tell you right now how hard he works. But he'll tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't do any of this stuff. And it's not about anything else except about how you can walk with God every day of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Ananias was a disciple, but he was born again in the church that believed in signs, wonders, miracles, healings, victory, power, strength, and boldness. And when God said, go see the Saul of Tarsus killing Christians, he didn't have a problem. You telling me to go? I'm going. And he went and did it. And God will be that person of great strength in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Is that a good word?
Good word.
I think it's a great word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it to us. If there's anything I've learned in the last 1 year of the community of faith, it is learning to make this statement. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the word you just spoke through your servant, whomever. This morning, as I was listening to Dr. Barclay, I said, thank you, Lord, for what we're learning right now from Dr. Barclay, your servant, by the Holy Spirit. Because it's not Dr. Barclay. It's not how much he knows, although he knows a serious amount.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dr. Summerall, how much he knew. It's how much he was willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and be a voice and be that instrument that the Holy Spirit could flow through. And that's the same thing in your life and mine. People have said to me all the time, Pastor, you're so intelligent. You got so much. Just don't even go there. If you only knew how much I don't have. No, this is learning to flow with the Holy Spirit of God. Letting that grace flow up out of you from him. And then those rivers of living waters produce life in your life. And they produce life in mine. And that's the strength of God. Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. 1 hour of faith. Look at your clock. One minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray. Thanks for having me. Amen. I did it. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive this word.
I receive
this word.
From the Holy Spirit of God.
From the Holy Spirit of God.
And I want this word to transform me.
And I want this word to transform me.
Into a disciple just like Ananias.
Into
help me build my relationship with you every day.
Help me build my relationship with you every day.
And walk in simple obedience.
And walk in simple obedience.
To whatever you tell me to do.
Whatever you tell me to do.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
I say this now. Here am I. Send me.
I say this now. Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Send me. Now, remember, we just read it last night. God sought for a man that would stand in a gap and make up the hedge. And in that day, in Ezekiel's day, he found none. Now, he found Ezekiel. But evidently, that he wasn't talking about Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel made Ezekiel bread and then laid and ate it for 365 days. That's an interesting assignment. So when he told that man what to do, he did it. But in the day that you and I live, we are not going to be those people who God speaks to and then we don't go do. Here am I. Send me. I am standing in the gap making up the hedge. And help me see it immediately so that I can act on it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, get your communion elements ready because it's time for us to receive the Holy Communion together. This is the same thing as the Passover feast. And yet, Jesus, by the will of the Father, put it all into a glass of grape juice and a piece of bread so that you and I could, as often as we do this, see it in his word, experience it in our life, and we don't have to wait for once a year for a feast in order for it to happen. This is something that we get to partake of on a regular daily basis.
Hallelujah.
And we love it here.
You.
If you're new to us on YouTube, I encourage you, get up real quick, get you a glass of water. You might not have grape juice in your house. If you do, that's what Jesus used is the fruit of the vine. And that's what I think you and I should use. There's a lot of people like, well, Pastor, I can just use whatever. No, make it holy.
Yes.
God made it holy, so you make it holy.
Yeah.
Make it holy. Make it holy. And get some order in your life because God comes to order. Make it holy. Get the grape juice. Get a piece of bread. And
a cracker.
And cracker. I use this little cracker because these are easy to chew up so I'm not spitting stuff at the screen all the time.
Well, and it's unleavened.
And that's what we think we do. Now, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 and verse 31. What I'm going to do is read the verses, lead you in the prayer of salvation, give you about 2 minutes of exhortation, and then bless the elements and receive them. That's how we do it here. That's our assignment. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, the bread, when he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That's the answer. You examine yourself under the Holy Spirit. And let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We would not be judged. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, that's a pretty serious thing when you can be bold when you're being judged. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment, the trauma that comes with fear. Because fear, nah, that's it. Because we have authority over fear.
Mm-hmm.
I bind trauma and fear in your life now. Now, our next step in our communion time is that we would pray the prayer of salvation with each of you. No matter when you find this video, whether it's live today on September 4th or someday in the future where you watch this, this anointing is still as strong today when you watch this video. And I've been saying this lately, even if you're watching it during the tribulation and you miss the rapture, don't miss the rapture.
Don't miss the rapture.
This is serious. You're going to have to go through 3.5 years of tribulation and horrific woe poured out upon this earth. But if you get this video and you say, I got to get right with God, then you pray this prayer and you will be right with God. because the Holy Spirit will still be here. And remember, at the exact point of 3.5 years into the tribulation, there will be a rapture on that day. Make it to that day and you go in the rapture. Plant a garden. Get off the whole system.
The grid.
Learn to live without it. Unhook your phone. Unhook your electricity. Learn to live without the grid. You don't need it.
Yeah.
And you can make it all the way to the end.
And
there'll be a rapture in the midpoint of the tribulation, caught up to be with the Lord. Think about how much mercy God has. Even after you miss the rapture, he's still going to help people find him. And if you find these YouTube videos and you know other people, you send them out there. Tell them, get to that video. Get there. Preached a whole message right there and didn't even need to. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Everybody pray it with me. Those of you on Zoom with us, you can pray it right out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you,
you
give me everlasting life.
And
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And put your hands out and say it. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With every part of you.
With every part of you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody shout glory, hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Brother Roger, we need a great amen.
Roger. Hello.
We're just waiting for the great amen, all right? Go ahead and make another pot of coffee. There he is.
There he is.
The great amen.
Amen.
Yay.
Now, watch. For those of you that are with us, you might be like, Pastor, this is real new. And I meant that prayer from the bottom of my heart, and something's going on the inside. Yeah, you just said, God Almighty, come and live inside of me. That's where he wants to live. And he did. You just said to Jesus, come and live in me. I believe in you. He's the author and finisher of the faith. Faith is now inside of you. Jesus is the light of the world, and light just filled your whole being. You said, because we led you there, all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness fill me. By simply listening to how we led you in it, you're becoming a disciple. You're allowing us to lead you to the things of God, and all of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled your whole being. Well, what's that mean? Up has to go. Now, your only challenge from this day forward is to get this. Acabeza. You got to get it fixed. So that it's no longer going the way of the world and going the way of sin. You have just been made a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. You've been adopted into the family of God. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, and it all just happened in a 2-minute prayer.
Hallelujah.
Everything heaven has to offer is now available to you to live. That's why, just like today, we saw the Apostle Paul immediately. He not only got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, He immediately got in the synagogue and started preaching Christ. Right, can you imagine? The synagogueites were like, oh, wow, you're Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, let's let him preach. And he stood up and said, Jesus is the only way. They're like, shut up. In the mighty name of Jesus, you've just received God. You might say, Pastor, I don't know how to do all this. I know, but we do. We got a bunch of videos. The number one thing I believe is the best thing for you to do is go to our YouTube playlist that is Read the Word, start in January, and read through the Bible with us every day. It doesn't matter what day of the month you started on, day of the week, doesn't matter. Just start and listen to it once a day. It's about a half an hour program, and it'll be a blessing to you. And you'll get this picture of God all the way through his word, and it'll begin to transform your life. I encourage you to go and do that. It's a YouTube playlist. All you got to do is find it. My name is Samuel J. Cottle, and that's what my YouTube website is, or my YouTube page is. And then you go to the playlist and click on Read the Word. And it'll just start you. And if you have a YouTube account, which is a username and password, you should keep up where you left off last time you came to it. And it'll take you right through the Word of God and be a blessing to you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen and amen. You ready? Let's receive the communion element. Okay. We're going to pray a prayer. Pray it with us. The power of God's going to work inside of your life. Pray this with me. We bless and sanctify these elements.
We bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There is nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint is supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community, and right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together.
Body of Christ.
Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despised the shame, and you called it all joy. To win us. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the majestic throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome every day.
I overcome every single day.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Any other blemish when you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive his blood together. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that's working in our life. Now, I heard a new Blood of Jesus song this morning.
How does it go?
Dr. Winchester was singing it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Blood still works. The blood still works.
The blood still works. Yeah, that's it. But you got to sing it Chicago style.
Yeah.
That means you got to sing it up shouting and dancing. It's a good one, but I'll have to get it. But let's just sing. Let's sing Down at the Cross. It's a good hymn. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing for sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
There's a reason why God had me speak every one of those declarations about the blood of Jesus when we receive communion. Because if you actually listen to the words you're saying, that is many of the things that the blood of Jesus does in our life every single day.
Amen.
And when you hear the words, all of a sudden you realize, wait, this is everything that the blood did to me the first time I spoke it, that I received Jesus into my life. And the blood of Jesus is the most powerful force. We overcome by the blood of a lamb and by the word of our testimony. And the enemy can't stand up to the blood of Jesus. If you didn't find the song about the blood of Jesus yet from Charity Gale, make sure you text us because we'll send it to you in a link from YouTube. She's got one song she's got one video that's put together, a whole bunch of videos that's about 30 minutes long about singing about the blood and the name. Some of the songs you want to hear when the enemy's fighting. Mm-hmm. I'm learning this week. This week I really went through some stuff this week. And I learned, the Holy Spirit taught me to say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Right out of Deuteronomy 28. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. Everything I put my hand to will be blessed because that's the promise of my Father who is in heaven leading me every single day. Now, tomorrow is Labor Day. There will be morning prayer. And I might find a really great patriotic Go Jesus, Go United States of America message for us to study tomorrow night. But at this point, it will be Read the Word. We'll do a Read the Word. And make sure we get that to you for tomorrow. And then You know, if you guys are on fireworks or something, we understand. If you're with your family, we understand that too. And if you don't have anything to do, we'll throw something up and make something happen, even though this is a holiday weekend. For those of you that live close to Chicago, Sister Leanne and I are going to be in Chicago from the 11th through the 16th at the Faith Conference with Dr. Bill Winston. It's one of our charge up our battery places that we go. If you want to be there and be a part of it with us, it's wonderful. You have to register online at billwinston.org. You got to go online there and register for the conference. But it doesn't cost you any money. It's free once you get there. And you might say, I don't even know where to stay. Well, get on the Airbnb site, because if it's just you all by yourself, you and your wife, you and your husband, you can probably find one right there in the community. If you don't mind just sleeping in somebody's room, pretty inexpensive. And there's amazing restaurants in Forest Park, like amazing, right in the parking lot.
Amazing.
Well, Dr. Winston has one of the most amazing restaurants is.
Right,
it's called Harvest 365. Amazing buffet right in the church building. God told him to do it, and he said, I don't want to. Yes, sir, I'll go do it, and he did it, and it's an amazing restaurant. And then in the parking lot of the church is Portillo's. Woo! Ribs and hamburgers. And anyways, if you want to have a week of wide open faith, it's every night at 7 p.m. at the church, and it's one of the greatest faith conferences. Well, let me say it differently. It's a great faith conference in America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put anybody else's down to put theirs up, but it's one of the premier that you want to see. Get to be part of Tudor Bismarck from Africa, Samuel Rodriguez from California, and
Leroy Thompson,
Dr. Winston, Brother Copeland.
Brother Copeland's going to be there?
Yeah, Brother Copeland's there on Monday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what the dates are again?
That's September 11th to the 16th. Starts next Sunday, a week from today. So next Sunday, we're going to be on the road somewhere with the program.
Oh, my. It really is.
It really is.
I got some getting ready to do.
Yes, you do. I hope you hurry up and get it done. We can get there and not be falling apart when we get there.
Chicago's not very far from Lansing.
It's not very far from anybody in Michigan, no. It'd be worth driving over for a night.
Or a week.
Or all week long. Anyways, it's a great, great, great conference. And
yes, it is.
But Tudor Bismarck on Sunday night is amazing. We'll put a link up for you so you guys can, everybody can have it. Even if you're not with us, you can still be celebrating with us. See if you can find us in the crowd. We're believing God to be moved right up front like we've been. Man, the one year we went there, we're like, Lord, we want to have a good seat every time. And then being non-Chicagoites, we didn't realize the traffic. We had a hotel that was way out. And every single service, the usher would, we were clear up on the bleacher part. We were like three rows from the top. And the usher just walked up and said, you two, come here. And he walked us right down and put us down in the bottom section, almost like about eight rows from the front. It was like, wow, how did you do? But then we just said, no, that's just faith.
Yeah.
This is a faith conference. And we said, our faith's going to give us a good seat. And bam, there it is. One time they sat us right in the front row.
I was going to say.
A couple times they sat us right in the front row. That'll wake you up. Make sure you're in order. Don't pick your nose or scratch your head or any of the rest of that stuff. That's not what you do when camera can be seen.
Right.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this.
We love you.
We love you.
We do.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
He does.
And Jesus is Lord.
Jesus will always be Lord.
And the grace, of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Remember, the first verse of the Bible is, in the beginning, God. And the last verse of the Bible is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
God's blessing all.
Bless you, Roger Oxy.
Amen.
Mr. iPhone 4. I don't know if that means you've got four iPhones or if there's four of us that have iPhones. I'm not sure what the four means, but bless your brother Dan, sister Gwen. We love you guys. Mary Pasto Rick, we love you.
Sunday Geyser,
all y'all going to join us on YouTube. We love you. Julian and Bamala, we love you guys. Brother Tanbir, all of our friends in Africa and Malaysia and Singapore and Pakistan, Africa, all over the world. All of you across Europe, we love you. We don't know you. We want to know you. Send us a picture. Let us know. You send us a picture. We're creating a partner board, people that are part of our ministry. We want you there. We want you to be a part of it. And you can find our email address and our website address. I mean, our writing address. What do you call it? Snail mail.
Yeah.
P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. Till we see. Hey, man. And if you're seriously thinking about coming to Chicago, then get in touch with us and we'll help you see some things because it's a great time. It really is a great time.
Yeah.
And a great bunch of believers. Dr. Winston has built an amazing church. And you'll walk away a different person in Jesus.
It's a little bit tricky to drive to Chicago, but you can get it if you try.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Just don't go during rush hour. They call it rush hour if everybody's sitting on the freeway. Now, why do you call rush sitting? Should call it sitting hour. All right, we'll see you soon. God, may God richly bless you in Jesus' mighty name.